Good afternoon. Do we have a webcast this afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, good afternoon to those of you on the thousands peering in from the camera. It's sort of the phrase left behind kind of comes to mind this afternoon, doesn't it? Maybe we'd be more comfortable if we just all moved into the fireside room and discussed some things around the table. How many of you are leaving tonight? And how many flying out tomorrow? How many flying out tomorrow? And the rest of us, I take it, are going to Oconomowoc? How many are going to Oconomowoc? And those of you who are at home, I guess you may not be making it to the feast. Hope then you can get the sermons. Of course, that's the meat of the feast and the spirit of it. So I hope you can get them at home if you have to stay. Well, lately, I chose the subject because lately I've been discussing some variations of interpretation of the New Testament with friends or people in the distance, some of it by email. And I have occasional difference of opinions with friends and brethren, small things. But the basis, I find that when I have a disagreement about interpretation, the basis often comes down to what the writer of the epistle was arguing. What was his main point? And then working back from what was his main point, why did he write the book? I mean, was there a problem? What problem was he addressing? There usually is a problem behind each New Testament book and letter. And I think that virtually all the New Testament is written in response to some opponent. Somebody is teaching wrong ideas. And so I'd like to make an observation on that subject today. This is just a sermonette. I can't go through the whole Testament, but I'd like to make one observation this afternoon, and that is that the very existence, I think, of most of the 27 books and letters of the New Testament is due to some heresy that is being fought. The very existence of the letter, the purpose of writing the letter. Hence my title today is The New Testament Response to Heresy. This topic is not a spiritual lesson. I mentioned before, I don't have a Christian living point to make here. And you don't have to know the exact reason why a book or a letter of the New Testament is written in order to get out of the book what God intended for you to get. You know, the exact reason that the author wrote the letter might be unknown to us, and yet we can still learn what God intended to learn from it. That I wouldn't argue with. But my motive today, for bringing this up today, is that some of the things that are said in those letters, some of the difficult things, things that sound really strange, and things that actually lead people away from the Church of God eventually, are misunderstood because we don't know what the argument was really about. Who was the opponent and what was he arguing? I can't go into all the heresies or heresy, whether you believe there were many or just one. That's not my subject today, but just to observe that most of the New Testament was in fact written to oppose heresy or heresies. And the first part, or my first point about that general observation is that the existing scriptures were sufficient until heresy arose. The existing scriptures were the Old Testament, and they were sufficient until heresy arose. Let's consider when the New Testament was written, when it began to be written. The earliest book in the New Testament is James, the book of James. It seems to have been written to Christians who were first scattered out from Jerusalem into the empire. These were Jewish Christians. Jews from around the empire had been in Jerusalem in that first Pentecost, and after their conversion, they took the faith to the other parts of the empire. And then the church, of course, in Jerusalem had faced persecution, beginning in, you know, Acts 8, the time of Stephen, and then later on, Herod he killed the apostle James and then threw Peter into prison. And that persecution scattered the Jerusalem church as well. But the conditions under which James wrote his letter to those scattered brethren occurred in the mid-40s, it seems to be in the mid-40s, so you could probably date the letter of James to about 45 A.D. Number one book, chronologically, in the New Testament. The letter was written in Greek, of course, and it's written to Greek-speaking, then Jewish Christians. It wasn't written to Gentile Christians because there weren't any, right, yet. Cornelius had been converted, but there weren't Gentile Christians in the Jerusalem church that we know of. Presumably, the letter was preserved then because it was sent to the outlying Greek-speaking churches around the empire. It was preserved in their archives, and that's why it found its way into the New Testament canon eventually. Been written to the Greek-speaking churches. Anyway, the point is that except for this letter to James, there was no New Testament in the 40s. So notice how large the gap here is before the New Testament even begins to be written. From 31 to 45, there was no New Testament. And by the way, I'm not saying that James was written to counter heresy, because if you read the letter of James, he doesn't seem to be talking about any heresy. The church in Jerusalem had not encountered any doctrinal difficulty except the subject of circumcision for Gentile converts up to that point. And that had been settled. That was settled by Peter's visions and the miraculous conversion of, that was obviously dramatic, conversion of Cornelius. So all was pretty quiet in Jerusalem doctrinally in 45 A.D. There was no New Testament. There was no need seen yet for a New Testament in 45 A.D. The next earliest writing in the New Testament would be Paul's epistle to the Thessalonians. That didn't occur, that Paul didn't write it until his second journey, when Paul first crossed over from Asia into Macedonia and Achaia. That's about 51 A.D. he wrote the letter to the Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians probably the following year. We see in the letter to the Thessalonians persecution, but not heresy. So there's, again, I guess that's a counter-argument to my statement that the New Testament is written to counter heresy. By 51 A.D., there's still no real sign of heresy as a problem. So that's 20 years, get my math right, 31 to 51 A.D., there hasn't been any books of the New Testament written except James. 20 years where the New Testament church didn't see any reason to write a New Testament. Now you're thinking about the Gospels. I know there is, and I would agree with some speculation that the teachings and the life, the ministry of Jesus Christ had been recorded by somebody in Jerusalem. You know, they had the eyewitness accounts there. They had heard the accounts of Jesus' life and teachings, of course, and somebody probably wrote it down. I wouldn't doubt that. I would even agree that document, if it was written down, might have been the basis for the three synoptic gospels, because they have similar order, the similar events in them. Maybe they were all taken from that document that was written down in Jerusalem. Seems very plausible to me, but in fact there is no evidence of it. There are no fragments of any Aramaic or Hebrew gospel. The Church of Jerusalem never preserved any documents. There was no New Testament written in the Jerusalem church. So we have at least 20 years then in which the existing scriptures, the Old Testament, were considered completely sufficient for preaching the gospel, and that was my first observation. We didn't need a New Testament at that point. Why did we begin to need it? Of course, Jesus Christ reveals the truth of a salvation, a resurrection, that is only dimly revealed in the Old Testament. So granted, the church had to preach a new understanding of what the ultimate promise to Abraham was for all people, in light of what Jesus revealed. But for 20 years, the Old Testament was considered, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15. Remember, Paul says, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Of course, he's referring, that's 35 years after the crucifixion. He's still calling the Old Testament the Scriptures. But those scriptures were not sufficient when certain men arose with a very different agenda. Different agendas that began to incorporate Jesus Christ into their system of belief and teach very different ideas about who Jesus was. And that brings me to the second part of my observation here this afternoon, and that is that the New Testament was written as heresy arose in the Greek-speaking churches of the empire. That was the impetus for writing the New Testament. It was heresy in the Greek-speaking churches of the empire. Paul doesn't write another epistle. I mentioned 1 and 2 Thessalonians in 51. He doesn't write another epistle until about 57. On his third journey, Paul preaches in Ephesus, lives there for a couple of years, and he writes the fourth book, chronologically, then, of the New Testament, which would be 1 Corinthians, in about 57. You're familiar with the fact that there were many problems in Corinth, but were those problems just because this was a cosmopolitan Greek pagan church, or I shouldn't call it a pagan church, a pagan city, cosmopolitan city of Corinth? Was that the cause of the problem, or were those problems brought on by a heresy that was taught in Corinth? Well, that's debatable, but I would contend that there are definite clues that show there was interference by heretics in the church in Corinth. There were false apostles who taught a distorted gospel of who Christ was. They said, for example, that the resurrection is already past. There were those who taught distorted ideas of what Christian spirituality is. The idea of speaking in tongues, for example, is in 1 Corinthians. So I would contend that Corinthians was written in 57 to oppose a heresy that was taught there. Then Paul writes 2 Corinthians about the same year as he crosses over into Macedonia and Achaia, and then he goes down into Corinth, and from there, about the same year, he writes the epistle to the Galatians. Now the Galatians obviously is written to combat heresy. Famous case, of course, Galatians chapter 1. No question about this, I think. Galatians 1, verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel, which is not another. It's not true. It's not really the gospel. But there be some that trouble you, and those are heretics. Those are people. And would pervert the gospel of Christ, which is the heresy. So there were definite problems with heretics in both the Anatolian Peninsula, that is Galatia and Asia, and also in Greece by the mid-50s. And now, beginning in the mid-50s, the New Testament begins to be written in earnest, if you take the books in chronological order. Some 25 years after the crucifixion, though, the heresy is spreading and taking root in Paul's churches. Now, where had that trouble come from? I said I wasn't going to go into the nature of the heresy and the identity of the heretics today, but we have some hints, and I would suggest that the certain men, unnamed men, came down from Judea in 49 AD and taught heresy to Antioch to begin with. They had caused enough doctrinal debate in Antioch to trigger the Jerusalem conference in 49. Things had been quiet in the Jerusalem church, as far as we know, at least doctrinally. There had been persecution that caused them some scattering, but we see no doctrinal heresy there. The earliest hint of doctrinal heresy is the certain men who came to Antioch in 49. So the New Testament was not written for the Jerusalem church or the Judean church. It's a collection of Greek letters, not Hebrew letters, not written to Jerusalem. They are Greek letters written to Greek churches of Paul's area. Paul began the Greek churches in the Anatolian Peninsula in the late 40s, when there was no New Testament. But heresy begins to trouble the church in 49. And Paul's letters begin to combat that heresy in Galatia and in Achaia in 57. And my observation is that the vast bulk of the letters and books, the 27 letters and books that comprise the New Testament, were to written to combat that heresy, or heresies if you believe there are more than one. My point today. The prison epistles come next in the mid of the early 60s. Paul writes from prison. And that seems to begin because of the heresy taking root in Colossae. Remember, the pastor in Colossae has gone to Rome to seek Paul's help against this heresy. Then we have the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are written in Greek and distributed in Paul's region. Why? Well, they don't themselves contain anti-heresy statements, but they contain or they solidify where Christ came from, who he was, what he taught, how he died. And I think the motive then for writing those letters, those gospels in Greek and distributing them in the Greek-speaking churches was to solidify those notions against heresies, against those very topics that preached a different Christ in a different way or a different explanation of what his purpose was. Then following those prison epistles, we have the pastoral epistles in the late 60s. Paul writing to Titus and Timothy, admonishing them to combat heresy. And then after Paul's death, late in the 60s, we have the letters of Peter and Jude, addressed to who? They're written in Greek, to the Greek churches of Paul's area, encouraging Paul's churches to continue the fight against that heresy, or heresies if you believe there are more than one. And then 20 years later, from the late 60s until about 90, when the Apostle John, of course, has left Judea. The temple has been destroyed. John has moved to Paul's territory. John now lives in Asia, in Ephesus probably. And John begins the war against that heresy or heresies. John's gospel is full of content that counters the idea of that heresy. John's epistles, the general epistles, are full of statements about those who lie. Very strong against the heresy. And then his Book of Revelation, especially the letters to the seven churches of Asia, which are Paul's churches, warning them of heresy and commending them or condemning them for accepting or not accepting that heresy. In other words, virtually the entire New Testament fits together as one body if you consider it opposition to heresy in Paul's churches in Asia Minor and Greece. The whole body of them weren't deemed even necessary to have until that heresy began. It seems to me they were written because they were prompted by the fight against a different gospel. So what is this? Is this relevant to you and me? What's the relevancy here? This is relevant, I think, when you consider some of the strange and difficult things that Paul says, things that people misinterpret and that lead people away from the church of God. And you know, you've seen it happen. This afternoon, this sermon has just an introduction into the subject. We need to consider the nature of the heresy sometime other time, that is, and whether there was just one heresy or not. And probably most important, we need to consider the implication of that heresy on the statements, some of the strange statements that Paul makes. So, to be continued. I have a speaking assignment later on in a couple of months, and I hope to use that time to consider the subject more deeply.